Good morning. It is on a beautiful, chilly, but wonderfully sunny Elkins Day that we welcome you to this time of worship at Davis Memorial Presbyterian Church. My name is Kevin Starcher, and for another hour, I am one of the co-pastors here at the church. My colleague, Dr. Vile, is off to Kansas City this morning, and he has left a note in the bulletin. I haven't read it, but if I have a flat tire on the U-Haul, I will know who to blame. As we gather, there are announcements beginning on page 5 of your bulletin. Of special note, today is Girl Scout Sunday, and there is an abundance of sin or Girl Scout cookies downstairs. So you are welcome to see Ms. Lynn or Holly or who else is here, Monica, for your Girl Scout cookies. Are there any other announcements before we begin worship today? I should thank Ms. Lily and Jackie for serving as our acolytes. Ms. Elise Cardo for serving as our liturgist today, and as always, Dr. Meadows for a fine music program, and I'm going to miss our music a lot. If you're visiting or listening on the radio, today is my last Sunday. I'm probably going to cry, but really it's just allergies from all the dust moving, but forgive me in advance. If there are no other announcements, oh, Jenny has an announcement. Terrific. And I have one more announcement. I have neglected to find servers for communion today. So if you are an elder, can you count and could 6 elders come up for communion when we get to that portion? Thank you. I knew I'd forget something. That's it. If there are no other announcements, let us worship the Lord our God.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship. We gather as God's blessed people. We gather as God's beloved people. As we gather, let us offer thanksgiving. Lord, as we gather here in your safe presence, we thank you for the fellowship that surrounds us. We ask you to strengthen us, restore us, and inspire us with your love. Lord, fill us with your peace so that as we journey onwards, we would pour out your love and grace to others. We ask that our souls would catch wind of your spirit to care for all of the earth. Amen. Please stand and join in hymn 645 in your purple hymnal.
The good news of the gospel is this, that we're all a bunch of sinners. What makes that good news is that it's honest. What makes it good news is in our honesty, when we confess our brokenness and our sins, God loves us so much that he will forgive us if we only but confess our sins and confess our faith. In a spirit of humility, let us pray together the prayer of confession found in our bulletin. Let us pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. It's all about love, and God loved you so much that he created you, shaped you in your mother's womb, and said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And even amidst all of your sin, God loves you so much that he became to be with us in the person of Jesus Christ. And even when we continued to sin and place our Lord Jesus on the cross, God loves us so much that he provides us the narrative of the resurrection. After Jesus was raised, he ascended into heaven, and right now sits at the right hand of God the Father and prays for you, for all of us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. When we place our trust in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and we are loved. We're called to share that love. So at this hour, we practice sharing love. We look our neighbor in the eye and we say, may the peace of the Lord be with you. And we respond by saying, and also with you. Share that with your neighbor. As the music fades, we invite all of our younger participants to come forward. And Miss Sue has a special word before we read our... Oh, Susan Pell as well. Great. Look at all these kids up here. This is terrific. I should announce that every Sunday is my last. This is wonderful. All right. Do we need a microphone, Sue? Let's get you one. We'll see what these ladies have in store. There we go. Here's a working mic.
Yes, we thought you would need something else to pack. So, but we want to say thank you so much for all that you have done for us and for the time that you have been here. We will miss you so very much, and we hope that you'll stay in touch and we can watch your children grow, as continue to grow. But thank you again for all that you have done. Thank you.
Any ideas what our potter, Susan, might have in that box? Let's open it.
Okay.
And while we're opening it, Kevin, you know how we all feel about this farewell. But it's not all about you. There's a person right here, Chrissy, who has been an example to all of us as the perfect parent. She has stood by her husband. She has raised her children with quiet understanding, with love, with patience. And I want to thank you for allowing many of us to step in from time to time as grandparents, as parents, as brothers and sisters of Levi and Laurel over these past years. And it's not only her children. It's the children in our church and the children in our community that she has offered and shown God's love to each and every one of them. So, we want to thank you for your time. And even though you're moving halfway across the country, if you ever need anything, we're just a text message away. And Susan, where's our potter?
Some beautiful pottery.
Oh, come on down for a picture.
Lovely.
Aha.
Thank you all.
Any special
so
words
much.
About the bowls?
Okay, this one. And they all go together. It's kind of like a serving set. And then there's another one on the bottom. It's a little larger. And then this is the lid. So, and they're all oven to dishwasher, table. With my bowls, I put them in the refrigerator, take them out, let them warm up, and then reheat in the oven with them. So they're all food safe. And I guess this is new sticking.
So, Kevin, they'll go on the front seat of the U-Haul, right?
That is absolutely correct. Thank you all so very much. Thank you. All right. And some gifts for Levi and Laurel. Thank you. Susan, thank you so very much. Oh, boy. So that's the first goodbye and the last. Because the rest is just going to be see you laters. But we gathered here, even though we want to like share our love, which we're supposed to do, we gather at church to listen to God's word being read, so that all of us, all of God's children, give our listening ears to Ms. Elise as she reads to us from the Bible.
Our first reading comes from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and on all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and the lot with him. Abram was 75 years old, and when he departed from Haran. Our second reading comes from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do the signs that you have apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can either enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "You are a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things. Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If you had told about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man." And Jesus said to Moses, "Lifted up," and just as Moses lifted up the serpent to the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that to everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We have a number of young people up here, so let us share our name in the microphone to let everyone know that you're here. Oh, I see someone over here.
Corin.
Astrid. Lil.
Oh no, our microphone is going in and out. Try that. Kate.
We buy David's Star Church.
Oh no, our microphone is not doing well. Let's just do this one. Can you say your name? Is your name Laurel? It is, yes.
Elliot. Holly.
Okay. Grant.
Quincy.
Pommel. Paper.
Wyatt.
Samantha.
Ethan.
Silas.
And some more over here. Harrison, can I get one more Harrison from you?
Harrison.
You have such a bass voice for a one-year-old. It's awesome. Lucas and Silas, do you want to say your names?
Yeah.
What's your name?
I'm...
That was a really good try. Nope, no names. And then there's some big kids. It's college students, I like it. Kinsey and Emmett. And some more big kids.
Jackie.
Kaylee.
Anna.
Anna Lee.
Kaya.
Miriam.
Did I get everybody? I think so. I like really good food. Do you like food? What kind of food do you like?
I like cereal.
Say that again.
I like cereal.
Me too.
Frozen yogurt.
Frozen yogurt, that's good.
Pizza.
Pizza is one of my favorites. Any other good food that you like?
Mac and cheese.
Yeah. What food do you like?
Ham.
You do like ham. That's good. I want to show you... Oh, one more from Astrid.
Ramen noodles.
Ramen noodles. I love ramen noodles.
Cupcakes.
Cupcakes. I know Levi likes cupcakes, too. What do you like, Laurel?
Cupcakes.
Yeah. Did you know that you're going to share... If you stay downstairs, one of my favorite meals today. Up here on this table, you probably know what's under here even before I lift it up. What is it?
Bread.
And when we eat this bread, who do we remember?
God.
God. We remember Jesus, who loved us so much that he died for us and was resurrected for us. So there's bread, and does anyone know what's in the chalices? Quincy, what's in the chalice? Grape juice or wine. Today is just grape juice. But this is probably my favorite meal because I get to have it with my entire church family. Every time we come to this table, we remember Jesus who brings us all together. And do you know what? It's not just at this table that we can remember Jesus. Every time that we sit down at our table with our family and we love our parents or our siblings, Jesus is right there too. So do you think Jesus just stays here? Nope. Jesus goes home with you and you and you. Jesus goes home with us all. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, thanks for these children. Help us to see you in this bread and juice during communion today. But Lord, help us to see you when we're at home eating cupcakes or ramen noodles or macaroni and cheese, because wherever there is love, you are there too. Thanks, Lord. This we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. If you're younger than first grade, you can go upstairs with our nursery staff. And the rest of you can stay here with your parents. Thanks for coming up.
I am.
I can say this because I'm leaving and you can't fire me. Look at what happens when we all show up to church. There's like 20 kids up front. Take that as you will. Preface before I begin today. Many of you know that we preach at the Lutheran Church before we come here. I cried at the Lutheran Church. It is probable that I will cry today, though I'm going to try really hard not to. But if tears come, it's only out of an abundance of love in our hearts. See? I'm such a crybaby. So these are tears not of sadness, but our cup overflows with incredible love and joy. Many folks have said that perhaps the three most powerful words in the English language are... You sound like a bunch of Presbyterians today. I love you. The three most powerful words in the English language are...
I love you.
Boy, that was good. But no one likes a demanded response like that. I love you. It was on the evening of December 22nd, 2008, that I was with my grandfather in the Camden Clark Memorial Hospital in Parkersburg, West Virginia. He'd been in the hospital for a few days and was doing well and was expected to go home the following, it was about two or three more days. Chrissy and I were flying back to Colorado, so we had a lovely visit in the hospital room. My grandfather was probably the strongest figure in my life. I grew up in rather humble beginnings. My sister and I were the children of divorced parents. I'm going to see both my mother and my father later today, so I don't want you to think that I had a bad family upbringing. But the reality was is that life was hard for us growing up. My mother had a high school education and had me early in life. And as a single woman trying to survive on a minimum wage, it's not even a salary, you just get paid what you work, a minimum wage, life was sometimes difficult for us. Thanks be to God for my grandparents, my grandfather and grandmother. They had three little rental homes that were not super nice, but they were warm and they were right next to my grandparents. They were dry, and even though we didn't have a lot of money, we grew up surrounded by the wealth of love. It was my grandfather who taught me how to change engine oil and to change brakes and to try how to treat women. And all those incredible lessons in life for a young boy growing up. So he was my rock. And on December 22nd, 2008, he's expected to go home in a few days. Chrissy and I are going back to Colorado. We had a lovely chat and a wonderful visit. He made me laugh like he always does. And we get ready to leave the room. And he looks me in the eyes and says those three powerful words of the English language. I love you. I love you, boy. So we left and we went back to Colorado the next day. And it was in that time that the Lord took my grandpa home. But those three words, I still hear them and I treasure them. If you've been blessed to know the goodness of love in your life, you have a sense of what we're talking about. My grandfather's love was incredibly powerful for me. But we can think of other opportunities where I was loved. I have the love of an incredible spouse, the love of children. My sense is that once or twice you too have known that incredible power of love. The past 3 weeks, I've been preaching some sermons that I want you to know, if you consider me a friend in this journey of life, things to know about your life and as we relate to God. The first of which is to beware of the trappings of the world, because the world will want to trap us. Last week, what did I talk about last week? It'll come to me. Thank you. Someone was listening. Apparently, I wasn't. This week is, I believe, what you need to know about spiritual reality that in the Christian experience we call our faith. This is it. This world in which we live, it's all about love. In the first epistle of John, not the gospel, but the epistle, the Johannine writer writes this: God is love. So that experience that I had in the hospital that continues to live with me today of my grandfather saying those three powerful words of I love you, that finds its source in the creator of the universe. And if you too have experienced love of a romance or a grandparent or parent or spouse or children, that love, it came from God. You don't have to be a spiritual mystic to know about God's love. My sense is that most of you have experienced love, and that in and of itself is of God. But we all know so well that the world is not necessarily full of love. In our Old Testament reading, Elise read for us, God chose Abram to be a blessing. There was nothing that Abram did to receive God's blessing. God loved him. There is nothing that you can do to receive God's blessing, you bunch of sinners. But God loves you anyway, and that is the story of the Reformed faith. Our faith is not about our choosing, but what God chooses for us. So whether you like it or not, God loves you. And at different times in your life, allows you the grace of experiencing love. But in this world, we have the opportunity to not choose to love. We have the opportunity to not receive that incredible blessing. And we look around the world and we see the spiritual manifestations of what happens when we don't choose to love. I'm not going to go into politics here, but perhaps you have heard this phraseology, which is incredibly true. God created us to use things and to love people. Our society has chosen to love things and to use people. I don't know why that is, because the opportunities that I've had to experience love have been wonderful and incredible. And with my grandfather in that hospital room, it hurt to bury him. I cried. I'll probably still cry today, right? But my life has been so much richer because of that love. But friends, you know that sometimes love hurts our fragile human spirits. Because sometimes we have to say goodbye. And sometimes love is just really hard, right? If you've been in a marriage, you know that sometimes love is hard. If you're a parent, you know that sometimes love is hard. If you are single, you probably know that love is hard, especially so. So we become afraid. And we attach ourselves to things because things don't have the power to hurt us like people do. And we see the manifestations of that in society. We cling to money. We cling to power because we think those things will buy happiness. But you know, in your experiences of love, just as much as I do, that there is no amount of money or no amount of power that will ever be able to replace the love that I had of my grandfather, the love that I have of my family, the love that I have of my God. But so often we choose to love things and use people. The story of the gospel, I'm convinced, is about love and those experiences of being able to know and feel God's grace in your life. God made you for love. God saved you for love, redeemed you that you may know this world in the reality of its original intention to love. John's Gospel, in the 13th chapter, Jesus says these words, and it was a bit heretical at the time, but 2,000 years later, it seems orthodox, but if we were to practice it, it might be heretical as well. But listen to Jesus' words in John's Gospel. Jesus says this, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, that you also love one another. For it's by this that people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." My friends, what would it look like if Christians in the United States actually began to start practicing those powerful words of saying and meaning, "I love you"? Christy and I were commenting as we drove to church this morning. It feels like yesterday that we arrived here in Elkins. 6.5 years later, here we are. You have always told me that time goes faster as I get older, and I don't really want to believe it, but I sense it might be true. It went by so quickly. Many of you are here today because of the searchers last Sunday, and for that we are very grateful. You have shown us so much love. Your being here today in our last hour in Elkins means so much. And if there is anything that we could say to you, not speaking generally, I think that I know every face in the audience today. We love you. I'm going to cry from Elkins to Weston, I'm sure. On Tuesday, when we're driving through Nebraska, if you hear four-letter words on the wind, that will be me cursing, wondering why God has taken us through the desolate land of Nebraska on the way to Boise. But we love you. And we can only say thank you for loving us in return. If you come here weekly, you know that we are good Presbyterians and we only have Holy Communion on the first weekend of the month because that's what Jesus said in the book of Hezekiah of the King James Version of the Bible, which is nonsense, right? We call Holy Communion a sacrament, which comes from the Latin like a mystery. We believe that there's something mysterious that happens here. In my ordination exams, I had to give the Reformed perspective of what happened, so I wrote it down and I passed. But I'm going to be really honest. I have no idea what happens with this bread and juice. But I believe with all of my heart that something holy happens when we come to this table. Because we remember God's love story for us. A story that says, I came and I was broken for you out of love. And in that holiness and in the sacredness, like Orthodox Christianity believes that in this mystery that happens, there is this thin space that God becomes very real and reality as we know it gets mixed up a little bit because God comes near. And we believe that we dine with saints past, present, and future and all around the world in this mysterious whatever when we come to this beautiful space. So friends, you know, I'm going to be selfish out of this love story. When I take communion, I get to have another meal with my grandfather. You get to experience a meal with all the loved ones in your life because reality is just love. And if our children are blessed to have children of their own, like right now today, I get to have a holy meal with my grandchild. How weird and crazy and beautiful is that? But it's not just this time continuum that happens here in this great love story meal. It's also a geographical space. You've given us a lot of love, and that will go with us when we go to Idaho. But know this. Every time you come to this table, we're going to be there. And every time we go to the table in Boise, Idaho, you're going to be there. And all of this big, messy, wonderful love story that happens at the table, I'm going to be there. You're going to be there. Love is going to be there. And that empowers all of us to go forth and to share this message of love. If you haven't learned anything from me over the past 6.5 years, it is this. Life is about love, period. Because God is love. If you're aching for love in your own life, don't look to things or booze or dollars. You will find your love in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is always inviting you to come to this holy feast. So friends, there are no goodbyes for the starchers today. And in the Christian faith, there are no goodbyes. It's always, see you later. We'll see you at the table. Thanks be to God for love. For your love. Amen and amen. Let us stand and sing hymn number 216. You may be seated. And as you do so, I encourage you to be mindful of the names and places listed on the back of our bulletin. In my mind, I'm debating whether I'll say this now or later. Chrissy and I are not going to stay long after church, and we'll give you special instructions. So you're not going to have the opportunity to bless us. We could spend all afternoon with each of you individually, but we need to get on the road. So if you need to pray for us, I'm going to include the Starchers in our prayer. Now is a good time to pray for us. But there are also others that we can be praying for. Our friend Ed Kyle and Rita Cederberg are spending time longer than they would wish at ERCC. So if you could pray for Ed and Rita, pray for Peter as he is off traveling, learning about church at a really cool conference that I wish I could be at. Pray for our church. Friends, your best days are ahead of you. So trust our Lord. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, for the gift of love, of family, of friend, of church family, more so for the love story of your gospel, we say thank you. We pray that we have the courage to put away our things and start learning to love you and to love other people, because it is really good to know the love and warmth of friends. Remind us that all of those feelings come from you. So if we long to live a deeper and richer life, that the only way we can do that is through deeper spiritual experience. So help all of us learn our scriptures and learn how to pray. And most basically, to treat our neighbors well, because you commanded us to do that. And we know that our life is richer when we do that. Lord, we pray for the Starchers as they go. Forgive Kevin for cussing in Nebraska. Keep his family safe as they journey by plane next Saturday. We pray for the ministry and the Covenant Presbyterian Church in Boise, that they do well, that they thrive. And we pray that for this congregation, that these people may have learned a little bit from Starcher, and that they love one another. Because when we love each other, amazing things happen. So help us to do that in this town, to love one another. The Baptists and the Catholics and the Muslims and the atheists. If we love one another. Lord, thanks. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray that we put away things and love people. So we pray for President Trump. We pray that he leads this nation according to your spirit of love. For Governor Justice, who has incredible decisions for our state budget and practice, let him govern with love. For Mayor Broughton and all of our community leaders, help them to lead with your spirit of love. And Lord, help us to go forth as those who know that love, ready to transform this world by the power of your Holy Spirit that is alive and at work in all of us, ready to share love. And we pray the prayer that the author of love taught us to pray, our Lord Jesus, praying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Will the ushers come forward to receive the offering?
Deep peace.
Lord, just as you chose Abram, you have chosen us. So may we respond to this wonderful blessing to be a blessing to one another and to this world in which we live. May these dollars, but more importantly, our lives, our hearts, share your love in all that we do. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We give thanks that this is not a Presbyterian table. We give thanks that this is God's table. And God invites everyone, past, present, and future, even those sinners in Boise, Idaho, to come to the table to experience the love of God. Scripture tells us that people will gather from north, south, east, and west to feast at the banquet of God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us the ways of love and who loved us so much, gave up his own life that we may live eternally. Forgive us of all those moments that we have squandered your divine grace, wasting our time on things while neglecting those that are important to us, others, and you, O God. Thank you for loving us and forgiving us. We pray now that you pour out your Spirit above this common bread and common juice and these common people, that you may dare make us holy in ways that we can't even imagine. This we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture today that Elise read was from John's Gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He gave a Son to the world. And we know what happened to Jesus, right? He was executed by the government. Killed for me and you. So envision that scripture of John 3:16 as we go through these words of institution. Jesus was with his friends, the disciples, even with the one who would betray him, enjoying a nice holiday meal. And Jesus took the bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "This bread is my body broken for you. Whenever you do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup. And after giving thanks to God, he gave it to his disciples and said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. And whenever you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me." Scripture tells us that every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we remember the Lord's death. We remember God's love until he comes again. This is the time when I'm a little scared. I'm going to invite six elders to come forward. Don't everyone get up, but don't everyone sit down. I trust you. You're Presbyterians. You're one of the most highly educated people, denominations in the United States. So 1, 2, 3, 4. Dr. Wagner is 5. And I'll tell you, Greg, come on up. We got 6. Forgive me. Today we'll take communion by intinction. You'll be invited to come down the center aisle and in the Amen section over there. We'll take bread. Take a big piece of bread because God's love is big. Dip it into the cup and then you can partake and you can return to your seats on the outside aisles. But friends, today is not sad. This is the joyful feast of God where love becomes here with us. So when the elders are ready, you are welcome to come forward. Come to the table of love. Hey, for wonderful music and good family of faith, for common bread and common juice that you somehow make holy, for our common ordinary lives that are broken yet beloved by the author of the universe, Lord, thanks. You love us. Help us to try to love you. This we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So in a few moments, I don't have my bulletin. Is there coffee today? Yes. There is coffee. Who's hosting it?
The girls'
The Girl Scouts, that's right. Go buy some cookies and support some wonderful ladies. A few notes. I need to cough. Chrissy and I are going to stand in the front of the sanctuary. And we're not going to stand here all day. So you get three words to say to us. You can tell us that you love us, or get out of here. Either way is fine. But that's all you got. You can give us a hug, but the line is going to be long, and we're going to want to give you a hug back and tell you that we love you too. We're not going downstairs, because we do need to get on the road. The joy has been ours, so thank you. Tears of an overflowing cup. So remember, you only got three words, because we do need to leave, but please go down for fellowship time and be thankful that you're getting rid of the bald-headed pastor. But we love you. God loves you. Receive this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.